Hola, this is Priscilla Yaman, welcoming you to the broadcast outreach of John Yaman Ministries. Listen now as we join Brother John in this relevant message in progress.
All right, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 6. Three, maybe almost 4 years ago, when the Lord said to me, teach my people to pray. It startled me because I had never even thought about, you pray. People pray. Talk to God. And then once I realized that the Lord was leading me in this direction concerning prayer, prayer assignments, and so forth, certain areas that require prayer. And I always knew all along, Nothing will happen without prayer. And many years I would say that. They'd say, well, God isn't doing much with me, and this has happened. They're not praying. That simple. So I began to realize, not only in studying the scripture, how much there was, and I began to realize that even the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. They recognized they didn't know how to pray. And they needed Jesus to teach them how to pray. And it's interesting that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, he covers issues concerning prayer. He's teaching them on prayer, realizing that they had to understand, be taught how to pray. Now, I'm going to tell you this up front. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot pray effectively, because the Word already tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know what it takes. We don't know the whole circumstance. We don't know all the situation. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. So any praying apart from the Holy Spirit, and where is he? In us. Not out there? No. Where is he? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me and quickens my mortal body, makes me younger. Amen? So, to try to go anywhere as a believer, a Christian, and people say, I'm a Christian, let me give you one definition of a Christian. It's a person that the Holy Spirit dwells in. You a Christian? Is the Holy Spirit in you? How about that? Well, rethink it then. Amen? So, in Matthew, and I'm just going to touch upon this portion to go on to what I believe God wants us to get into in detail. In verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, one of the things that Jesus knew, he knew and knew full well, that in order for prayer to be answered, you had to know God heard you. Now, I believe that, fellow soldiers, you all know you're righteous. Amen?
Yeah.
You all know you're in right standing with God apart from anything you've done or didn't do, because Jesus did it for us. Amen? You're as righteous as Jesus. Now, I don't want to be picky on songs, but I learned a long time ago, look at the words you're singing. Is it scriptural? I know a verse of scripture that says, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. So is Jesus the only one holy? Everybody say, I am holy. I'm just like Jesus. Amen? We'll get it. We'll learn. And we sing it. And you know, the music is so powerful that those words will seep in unbeknownst. It said that Lucifer, who became Satan, led the praise and worship before the throne. That's why he has perverted the music to the extent that he has been able to do it. Amen? So, especially when you're singing, look at those words. Words are spirit. How does a person pick up a spirit of hate? Hate words. Didn't Jesus say, "My words are spirit and life"? The devil's words are spirit, but they're death. Amen? Now, I'm telling you word. Now, think about this a second. Jesus said, they think they'll be heard. Now, the word shows us every thought and intent of our heart, whether we even know it or not. We need the word of God to show us our motivation. You get people all the time denying, "Oh no, I'm not." Yes, they are. Well, how do I know they are when they're doing the vain repetition? Because Jesus told me. Right here. This includes everybody. Okay? When you're Lord Godding it every other word, "Oh Lord God, oh Lord God, be with us," you're going to hear some doubt and unbelief following that. How many have heard that prayer? I've heard it until I can't stand it any longer. "Oh God, be with them as they go." Hey, when they left, he was with them. As if, see, the image in our mind is, now God is zooming out there to be with them because you prayed. Those are prayers of unrighteousness. Those are the prayers of unrighteous people. Well, wait a minute. It's Jesus. They're righteous. They don't know it. They're praying like unrighteous. Trying to get right with God by what they're praying. And as a consequence, prayers and prayers and prayers go up. And people praying and praying and praying and not seeing answers. Okay? What we're about is answered prayer. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous avails much, releases great power. Okay? So if you don't know you're righteous, there's your first and basic problem. But how am I righteous? By faith. Amen? I'm like Paul in this respect. He says, it's not a problem for me to repeat it over and over and over because it's safe for you. If you ever have the thought comes to you, "I've heard this before," you tell that thought to get out and shut up. You can't hear it enough. Martin Luther said, after 18 years, having the great revelation by grace through faith, after 18 years, I'm still tempted every day to go back to being justified by the works. Even when you are preaching and teaching and putting out the word of grace, and you're putting out justification by faith in Jesus, still, we're works of the law junkies, being weaned, addicts, and everyone is in some stage of being weaned off of it, getting into that place to understand, hold on, it's by the merits of the Lord Jesus I got it all. Amen? If you within yourself say, "I've heard that before," slap yourself upside the head and say, "Stop being a fool. I need to hear it again and again and again." Why? Hey, 90% of what you're hearing every day is the devil's stuff. Have you listened when a news program comes on? Doesn't matter what it is, Fox, whatever. Have you noticed that If you listen to it for 2 hours, they've got four reports they tell 20 times every 20 minutes. It's the same thing over and over and over. And we sit there and listen to it. We don't go, I heard that before. We sit there and listen to it again, trying to get more of the report. What happened there? How did that happen? What happened to that plane? You know, what? And then we listen to, hey, switch that over here. I want to hear this again because I want to get more out of it. Because you never have it all. Amen? So the key, and Jesus knew it, and later on Jesus said, Father, I thank you, you hear me every single time. Well, why did he say that? Because he knew it was him knowing the Father heard him, which brings the answer to the prayer. We know he has heard us, he answers, and we have the petition we asked for. Well, what do I do? You keep praying till you know he's heard you. In here, in your knower. You don't walk out until you know he's heard you. Amen? You're interceding for somebody. The devil's all over them. You're setting free that captive. The prayers that you bring up there, the prayers that you put before God, releases all of heaven. But that's a daily basis when you're interceding. You intercede. God puts somebody on your heart every single day until you see it done in their life. Ephesians 6:18 says what? With all prayer and supplication, with what? All perseverance, praying for the saints. Just because you see a little change here or there, okay? It's not, oh, okay, let me move on. You're praying for somebody to receive salvation, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's every day. Until you hear it come out of their mouth and you know they are born again, Jesus is Lord of their life. You pray every day. How many of you are interceding for people you know to get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues? Don't hear that much, do you? Except there's one problem when you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues, even though you're born again, because you can't deal in the supernatural without it. And the devil is in the spirit realm, in the supernatural. And the supernatural, the spirit realm, controls all of the physical realm that we live in. Every spiritual law, when it goes into effect, affects this realm of the spirit. Of the physical realm that we live in. It affects our lives directly. It's the difference between life and death in many cases. You hearing me? Here's one spiritual law. If you don't pray it, it ain't happening. Can I put it a little plainer? Okay? How plain is it? If I don't, well, it's the will of God. He does whatever he wants to. You'd be waiting a long time. Remember last time when I shared about George Mueller on the ship? He says to the guy, don't pray. Yeah, you don't believe. That may happen to some of you when you're with somebody. You may have to say, don't pray. I need this prayer answered. Listen to this one. George Mueller. The Lord told George Mueller to start an orphanage. And he began to pray. And so he prayed for everything. He prayed for the furniture, the clothing. All of it was sent. He prayed for the houses. He prayed individuals to take care of the children. Various sums of money were given. It may well be to state that above results have followed in answer to prayer without anyone having been asked by me for a single thing. From which I have refrained, not on account of want of confidence in the brethren, or because I doubted their love to the Lord, but that I might see the hand of God so much more clearly. There are times when God needs for you to know it was Him. Amen? As far as I remember, I brought even the most minute circumstances concerning the orphan house before the Lord in my petitions. Being conscious of my own weakness and ignorance, there was, however, one point I never had prayed about, namely, that the Lord would send the children. For I naturally took it for granted that there would be plenty of applications. The appointed time came, and not even one application was made. This circumstance now led me to lie low before my God in prayer and to examine my heart once more as to all the motives concerning it, and being able, as formerly, to say that His glory was my chief aim, that it might be seen that it is not a vain thing to trust in the living God, and still continuing in prayer, I was at last brought to this state that I could say from my heart that I should rejoice in God being glorified in this matter. Now, let's think this through a second. What happened here? And I can tell you from that incident with him that most Christians are not there. They think that because God wants to do something, He automatically does it. How many of you know He wanted the orphans cared for? He spoke to George Mueller, said, build an orphan house. Wouldn't you think it would be reasonable? And this is our human wisdom. Okay? Why would I have to pray about God bringing the orphans? After all, He told me to do it. He told me to, and He supplied. He supplied everything. Three buildings worth $600,000 each in 1850. 2,000 orphans eventually. So He's all set to go. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you, somewhere within you, believe that because God wants something done, He just does it? After all, Lord, You wanted the orphan house. You supplied the money. You did all of this. Where's the orphans? Where's the application? How many of you know that God wants big, strong, large, powerful local churches? How many of you know that He wants those churches prosperous beyond measure? That He wants the body of Christ to be in such a position of prosperity, we'll pay off the national debt. God said, pay it, we pay it. They know where it'd be coming from. How many believe that this is something that God would be in? Why wouldn't He? He sent Jesus to die on the cross and for it. Why isn't it happening? Because they think that God bring the orphans in anyway without asking. Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I noticed something when I was going over this, and I want to cover two points tonight, and I believe that it will help you a great deal. And the first point I want to cover is, Father, He says, when you pray, say, Father. Why? I've heard people pray to the Holy Spirit, pray to Jesus, pray to Mary, and try to convince God to do something. Because after all, why would He want to do anything for us? Now, I want to tell you, this is all in the context of praying. And not any of it is believing prayer. Not any of it is faith prayer. Prayer with faith. Not believing prayer. George Mueller said, all my prayers for 57 years was believing prayer. Every prayer I prayed, the answer was yes. He prayed 52 years for a person to be saved, receive salvation. But it got done. Father. Now, isn't it interesting that The word for father is Abba, which is the Hebrew word for daddy. Do you know that Father God literally insists we call him daddy? Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. We have been given the spirit of adoption that we call Abba, Father, Daddy. Now, tonight, what I want you to do, I want you to see the Father God. Forget any other father you knew. All right? Will you do that for me? We're not talking human fathers here. We're talking Father God, Daddy God. The father who said to the prodigal son, to the older son, don't you know everything I have is yours? You being evil as parents on the earth who know how to give good gifts to your children, you being evil who know how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts? How can anybody stand up and accuse God of the things they accuse him of? Let me give you a couple things here in regards to the Father. I'll give you the Greek rendering where he says, right here, he says, our Father in heaven, Father of us who is in heaven. That's what the literal Greek says that got translated, okay, our Father in heaven. Father of us in heaven. How many of you are aware that the scripture says that Jesus was the only begotten son? Get that? Begotten. The reason why Jesus says, Father, say, Father, go to the Father, is because Father is like the architect, the builder, the creator, one who causes something to be. Father God originated everything. There is no life apart from it being brought forth by the Father. Amen? There isn't. Man cannot build a tree. Man can't build anything that lives. Only God. The Father heart of God said, light be. The Father heart of God created the earth. The Father heart of God created us. Amen? One of the major things that Jesus did was he came so we could call God Father and that he would be. Because remember, before the cross and before his resurrection, Jesus was the only begotten. Now there's a billion begotten. Amen? Turn to John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. Now, I've heard for 30 years all kinds of definitions of what eternal life is. But I've never heard anybody in all that time ever give Jesus' definition. Eternal life is living forever. Wait a minute. You can live forever without eternal life because you are. You're just going to be in hell if you didn't receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. See? So when they say eternal life, you're going to live eternally, that's not correct. Because Jesus said this is what eternal life is. And this is eternal life. Does your Bible say that? Okay. It's going to be good coming. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life? Knowing the one true God. Why? Why does that become the eternal life? Because what is everything proceed? Where does all life come from? God. Anything that is not originated by God in your life, by the Spirit of God, has no life in it. It must die. All flesh, all self-effort, all doing your own thing, in the end, is death. Because there's no life in it. All ministries that are started, all churches that are started, that are not originated by God, that God didn't initiate it, there's no life there. I don't care how talented they are. I don't care how charismatic the pastor is. I don't care about any of that. I don't care if they got 18 letters at the end of their name. Amen? And so, why does Jesus say, Father? Because it all starts with Father. Do you know who you're talking to? This is what he's referring to when he says this. Go back over to Matthew. Hallowed be your name. That in this time where we go before the Father freely, Jesus, all those that come to Jesus, they get to know the Father and have eternal life. Amen? Let be sanctified your name. That's what hallowed be thy name means, Greek rendering. Let be sanctified. When you're talking to the Father, do you know who you're dealing with? Do you know who you're talking to? It's very important to know who you're talking to. Why? Eternal life is knowing who you're talking to. Amen? Let be sanctified your name. Set apart. In my thinking, in my knowledge, in my prayer, do I know who I'm talking to? You see, a lot of people do not get answered to prayer because they don't know who they're talking to. They think it's just God. You are talking to Daddy God who cares about everything in your life and misses nothing. But just like George Mueller, how much more of the Father heart of God was there than him to say to George Mueller, I want an orphanage and supply everything. But yet George learned something, didn't he? Not automatic. You still have to go to Daddy and you still got to ask him. Amen? For everything. Well, he knows I need it. He can do whatever he... No, for everything. What do I receive from God? Whatever I pray for, we're in a blessed country. We have the ability to earn money. We have ability to do things that God's not involved in. We're feeding on the blessing of the founding fathers and the covenant they made with God, and we're out there feeding on that. To that degree in this country, okay? And I'm not saying anybody should be condemned over that, but understand who is the total source, and that whatever we do enjoy in our country is still by the mercy and grace of God from day one till now. However, what that does do is it causes us to believe or to kind of forsake the truth, which I'm telling you now, which is you pray for everything. After all, I'm going to get paid on Friday. Really? Are you sure? Well, I got a paycheck coming. And so we trust and plan on that. And in the end, folks, the world system's going, sometimes we forget and we need to remember. Amen. We need to remember. This is Father God I'm dealing with. This is Daddy God. He cares for everything I do. He provides. The provision is there. So forth and so on. However, Even, now think about this, even though it was the perfect will of God that George Mueller had this orphan house, he went back over it, didn't he? That his motives were correct, that he was in the right place, that he had heard God. And still, what did he have to do? Ask him to bring me orphans. God will raise up laborers for the harvest. I mean, he wants the harvest. It's the precious fruit of the earth. He sent Jesus to die for the whole world. It's all reconciliation. It's all reconciled to him. And God kind of does whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. Then why did he say, pray the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers? One of the things in the breakfast Saturday morning, which was kind of caught me a little bit, I don't know if you guys noticed it or not, it was the pastors in there talking about how there's no outreach. No church is going out and preaching the gospel. No one bringing the word out. They were, you know, kind of mentioning this here and there. And this is when they were going, it's time for us to do it. Why? God never said pray for revival. It already came. Jesus said the harvest is ripe already. It's white with harvest. White, ready. Pray the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers. Now, bless their heart. The churches that say, we're going to go out and do it, and never pray for God to raise up laborers. They just try to figure out, yes, because the pastors come to me and they go, how do you get your people to do anything? I said, first of all, they're not my people. So let's get on the same wavelength. And they ain't your people either. They're God's people. Then they find out whether they want to continue talking to me or not. But I can't get them to do anything. It's not your job to get them to do anything. It's your job to pray. Lord, raise up laborers for the harvest. That 6 or 7 years when we were here and we had morning prayer every morning, Monday through Friday, we prayed that, right, George? Every day, Lord, raise up laborers for the harvest. And he did. 3 years ago, we had gotten together, Joey Perez and some of us, and maybe 3.5 years ago, and we got to like reminiscing a little of the street meetings and all the things that had happened and the people that got saved and the healing and deliverance and this and that. And the Lord spoke to me and he said this to me. This is 3.5 years ago. And I had shared it down in Philly in Kingdom Highway in one other church. That was just a sampling. Just wait and see what I'm going to do. And that was 3.5 years ago. And for the first time, see, now you remember when God speaks significant things to you? And I saw Saturday morning, God's putting this thing back together. That's what he's doing. Joey Perez came out of his mouth, God is sending me back to the street. Is it him alone? No. He's the first one to tell you. Hey, all of you can do this. Amen? Did you hear him say it? Sending me back to the street. We did 4 a week for 4 months, for years. People, when we were talking about it, the other pastors who had ever seen this, drug dealers saved, Muslims saved, on and on and on. I have the reports from back then still. Because each ministry team wrote a report up of what went on. Lord, send out laborers for the harvest. That's all the prayer you need. And heaven is loving it. Heaven rejoices. Why? Every soul is worth all the money in the world. That's God's perspective. you are worth all the money in the world. So why wouldn't he move heaven and earth to take care of you?
He would.
Amen. Father, Father, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who he is? Do you know his heart? Father isn't up there going, you better praise me. You better praise me. Yeah, you better praise me or something bad's going to happen. He's not doing that. All of our praise is perfect to the Father. You know why? Because it goes through Jesus. And Jesus makes it perfect. All of our prayer goes through Jesus. Now, I want to make one last point. It is extremely important that you understand that when you see Jesus, you see the Father. He's not different. So if I'm coming to the place to know the Father, I'm knowing Jesus. And where is Jesus? He's in the book. Now, I want you as fellow soldiers, prayer warriors, because you're doing a great job. We're seeing stuff happen. Amen? It's a good way to know. But I want you to understand, there is no substitute for the Word of God, praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to open your heart and your mind to the truth and show you Jesus. Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus, never himself. Well, how do I do that? I'm all for it. If you want to read three chapters a day through the Bible, do it. But let me exhort you to do one thing each day. Lord, where do you want me in the Word today? Listen, go there. Lord, open my eyes to see. What am I doing now? I'm praying. Well, I thought it was automatic. And no. You could read this and be dry as a bone. And you could turn around and say, Father, by the power of your Spirit, open my eyes to see. Open my heart to receive. And it changed just like that. Why? Just like the orphans. Well, he wants us to know his word. He wants us, so it's up to him. No. No. Do you want it? Yes, I want it, Lord. If you will do that, and I'm not telling you to do it every day, just do it when you know you need to do it. Now, I turn it over to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you let me know. I'm not going to put myself under rules. Because the moment that I say, well, that sounds pretty good, John. I'm going to do it every day. Don't do that. Do you want to know what the flesh is? Just do that for one day. You'll think of every other thing you can do. Amen? Those who are led of the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. Not the ones who are led by the rules. And when you're in sync and you hear the Spirit of God say, time to get in here, and you walk in that Spirit, you come out of that, it's a great time. You don't want nothing else. And this is what you need to do as a fellow soldier to stay strong as a soldier. Our son Andrew, who you know, he's back from Afghanistan, which we're thankful for, and all that. But he talks about what they have to do to train, to be ready, and all of that. And in the natural, I'm seeing that parallel with the spiritual of what they had to do to be ready to go so that they would survive. I guarantee you those soldiers in his platoon, in his company, when it came time to eat, they ate. They didn't go 4 or 5 days and say, I can still fight the battle. Word of God feeds your soul. Spirit already knows the word. You have the entire word in you. We feed our soul. Amen. Receive the word engrafted, which is able to save your soul. So the spirit man is saved. New creation, sealed by the Spirit of God. Our soul is in the process of being saved by the Word of God through the Spirit. And praise the Lord, there's going to be that day when we have the incorruptible flesh. That's the one where you just think and you're there. I think about that daily. I especially think about it when it's not a good day. How it's going to be. Amen? So, Father, who are you talking to? He's the one. He's the one who has the best idea. He's the one who has the plan. He's the one who has your best interest in his heart. Hallowed be thy name. That's set apart the Father for who he is. Now let me give you one last thing. Definition of holy. We sing it, we pray it, and I want you to understand that when you're dealing with Father, God, holy is never being less than who you are. God is never less than who he is. Father God is never less than who he is. He doesn't get up in the morning going, am I God or not? God is love. He cannot be anything less than who he is. You and I, as we start to understand and learn from Father God, through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, who you are, you will then walk and live never less than who you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the beginning point, okay, to walking in righteousness. Amen? Who are you? The righteousness of God. When Peter said, be ye holy, for he is holy. He wasn't saying, try to be holy because God's holy. He said, you're holy because God's holy and you're begotten of him. Amen? Father, be sanctified in your name. Sanctified where? In my thought, in my mind, that I would not speak anything of the Father that is not so. I will not speak wrongly of God to him, about him, to anybody. Only what I know. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this evening.
For more information on John Yaman Ministries, visit our website at www.johnyaman.com. That's www.johnyaman.com. We would love to hear from you.